Tonight at Owens from 5 to 6. 7, and then the funeral will be there tomorrow, right, at 11 o'clock. So lift up that family for certain. It's just another loss in that family, and we lift them up with our prayers for certain. There will be choir practice today at 4:45. Want to also share something with you, if I can, about the displaced people at Budgetel. We keep getting updates frequently from David Franklin at the Martin Baptist Association. He tries to keep all of the churches up to speed with what's going on there. I want to share one of the things that he sent me yesterday. There was a maintenance person at one of the motels that was taking in some of the people and families that was so moved by what was going on in the Christian community here that he accepted Christ because of that. And so we just said, I'm telling you. But I also want to share something else with you. Be careful. It's sad that we run into these kind of things, but there are people out there in that community right now that is going from church to church asking for help and needs. And these are not the people that was at that hotel that was displaced. And so be extremely careful. We've run into it here, as you all know. And maybe they won't come into our church, essentially maybe. But they may run into you out in the parking lot or during your shopping at Walmart or wherever. Just be aware that they're using this, okay, as a premise to try to take from you. We share as God's children, as He tells us to, okay, to help others. That's fine, but there are people that are preying on that. Just be totally aware of it. Also, I've got a card here. You're cordially invited, church, to attend an Eagle Scout Court of Honor for Thomas Cochran. Don't remember, so how long ago was it? He just was named, about a month ago, wasn't it? As an Eagle Scout. And that's something that you don't hear a whole lot about anymore. It just takes an awful lot of effort to do that. It'll be Saturday, the 23rd of November at 2 o'clock here in our fellowship hall. And we've got a note here to RSVP to Dana. We've got a phone number, and I'll put this on the bulletin board out there. She needs to know by the 16th of November if you're going to attend so they can determine their needs and that kind of thing. All right.
Open the And pray each and every one of you this past week. I know next Sunday, which is Veterans Day, but we'll have Tim, Reverend Tim Turner, so he'll be here. And I know he's going to do some veterans, but I won't be in charge of the service in the day. I wanted to make sure I recognize some of you veterans today. And they may go ahead and recognize you next Sunday as well. That would be even better because that's the official day, which is the second Sunday. But I want to take the Bibles over to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, amen. I thank God as we begin to look and realize that the Lord is going to bless us tremendously. Today, the Christian soldier's secret weapon, out of all of their seven basically pieces of equipment that we wear as a child of the king, I thank God five of them that mentioned that I have on your bulletin. The one I didn't mention on there, but it is basically seven with the number being complete. And so I thank God, if you'll look on your outline that's in the bulletin there, you'll see that I've got five things over there. But there's two things that's not mentioned on there. One is the sword of the Spirit, and then, of course, this entire message deals with prayer. And so I thank God, as we look today for Veterans Day, we do want to thank you for your service and for your time. And I'm going to actually start out by recognizing you today, not with music, but by your flag. But, you know, as we look at that this morning, how many of you realize why they do things in the order they do them today? You know, you got five uniformed military services, all of them have a flag. Then you've got the national color that comes together. And so, you know, you wonder, well, what's the order when they do that in? And I thank God I may not have always done it in the right order, but there's an order of precedence that goes in, amen, according to the Department of Defense. Now, there's a little bit of different things that are happening recently over the years that makes that a change. I thank God, according to the Department of Defense and the executive, the director order 1005.8, dated October 31st, 1977, this is how it has been set up. According to seniority of services and applications, is that it begins out with the United States Army, then it goes with the Marine Corps, the Navy, and this is where it is today because there's a reason for that, and I'll explain in just a minute. Then the Air Force, and then the Coast Guard. Now, the Coast Guard right now is under the Homeland Security. It's been pulled out of the Department of Defense. But if there's a war back home, then when a war is back home, when you play the colors, basically, the last of the five would be Air Force, according to that procedure. But right now, Coast Guard is the last. That's the reason that they do it that way, in order of precedence that they do that. If you ever knew that, any flag, any song, anything of marching that ever does it, that's the order that it has to be. And it has to be the Army, the Marine Corps, the Navy, the Air Force. And right now, because there's no war on, the Coast Guard. But if there's a war, Air Force would be put at the end, according to that precedence as they do it. And so every time that there's a military display of the colors, that's the display order that it should be in. So I thank God this morning as we begin to look at that and see that some of the things that we're going to recognize this morning, Ephesians chapter 6. I thank God. I'm going to put up your flags here in just a minute. Here's some crests that I put up for each one of those branches, amen. It's the Army, the Marines, the Navy. I thank God, I don't know how many of you watched that, but that was a good game, the Army-Air Force game yesterday. Army could have won, but they lost, amen. They has a couple things that I won't go into the details with, but Air Force won, and they are predicting this year, I told Levon, because they're Air Force, and John, that they are predicting Air Force taking the Commander-in-Chief trophy this year. You know, Army done lost four in a row, and Air Force has had a great time, but boy, I tell you, they get tough when it plays each other. And that was a tremendous game. And so I thank God for the military branches and each and every one of them. And so this morning, as we get ready, we're going to honor, if your flag comes up, and don't worry, I'll mention each one of them as they come up this morning as we do that. First of all, if you've been in the United States Army, if you would stand to your feet, we want to recognize you this morning. Amen. Already know the order because as I just told you, it's going. United States Marine. If you've been a United States Marine, would you stand just for it? United States Navy. got it. So then this notice will be United States Air Force. And not least, as I explained in the order of all of those, that's how everything has been set up, United States Coast Guard. And I think the only one that I know of that would be Roger Lamb. Of course, he's been in both. He was in the United States Coast Guard and the Marines, both as well. And so, men and women, we appreciate you. Thank you for your service that you have given. I thank God as we look at this message this morning, it deals with each and every one of us looking at the Christian soldier's secret weapon. If you're able to stand this morning, you may not be able to read that good, but if you can, if you're wondering why that's down there, because it's my PowerPoint, that's my outfit. I'm the 4th Infantry Division, amen. And so I thank God if you want to know what that is, the 4th, amen. Stand to your feet if you're able to this morning as we honor the reading of the Word of God, because out of the 7 weapons, the one that puts everything, the secret weapon for every Christian is prayer this morning. I thank God as we read the wonderful Word of God this morning. Let me get my right in front of me. Even though I've got it right there, I like to get it right in front of me when I read it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for People's Valley Baptist Church. And Lord, we want to thank you for the power of God that we feel here this morning as we come among our family and our friends. And Lord, I pray those that are here this morning, Lord, will continue, Lord, to do the great work and service that you've called them to do, Father. Lord, just use every gift, as it was spoken of in Sunday school this morning, every ability for your honor and glory, Father. We thank you last Sunday for that wonderful one that was saved by your marvelous grace. And now today, Father, as we continue forward, we ask that you'll bless, Lord, those as we go out in and out before the flock, that, Lord, that you'll use this church as your ambassadors, and for those ones that will take the message of the cross to each and every one of them. Now, Father, I pray, God, that if there happens to be someone here today that don't know Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin, I pray, God, that you'll just, Lord, speak to their heart with your convicting power, and, Lord, convict them of their sins, and bring them into the family of God, Lord. And I ask this morning, Lord, even as we get ready to go this morning, Father, Lord, as we have communion this first Sunday, Lord, I pray, God, that if there's something that's in our lives this morning that doesn't belong there, I plead the blood of Jesus. And Lord, I ask forgiveness that, Lord, that we may be a clean vessel that will stand before you. And Father, Lord, as we all have shortcomings and faults, not one of us is perfect, but Lord, I pray that as we partake of that, that we remember you this morning of your body, Lord, that was broken, and your blood that was shed. Lord, I pray, Father, Lord, before we partake of it, that, Lord, that we would plead the blood of Jesus and forgiveness, that if there's anything that doesn't belong, that we haven't given to you, Lord, that we will do that before we partake of it this morning. And, Lord, we're just so thankful that you have given us all of the blessings, the wonderful choir and the song that we heard, the music that was played, and everyone that is represented here today. Lord, I pray your blessings will continue to go forward. Use us and hide us behind your cross. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. I thank God this morning as we look and realize that every one of us have an enemy. The one that got saved last Sunday, I'm going to tell you, even though that we're saved and we're set free from the devil, amen, in one sense we are, but when Jesus steps into your life, all of a sudden, you're set free from the devil's hell, but you're not set free from the devil's harassment. And he will harass every born-again Christian. That's what he does. And, you know, sometimes I said in Sunday school this morning, the number one contender a lot of times is he'll try to bring conflict between a marriage. You know, that's the worst place sometimes. You know, I don't seem to have too many conflicts with a lot of other folks, but sometimes it'll happen. And you know what? We may not ever even say that to our husband or our wife, you know, but the devil will come in there with these thoughts, and he'll say, you know what? She or he needs to do this, or they need to do that. And he's the one that's good at those things. He'll try to stir up mischief, and he'll be a harasser of all of these things. And so you see, salvation is not the end of our struggle, amen. It's just the beginning. But the Bible says, but be of good cheer. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world, amen. And so I thank God, every one of us with Jesus, you can have victory over victory over this flesh, and you can have victory over the devil, because I thank God he's given us that. It's a trilogy of trouble: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Those are the three enemies that will come against us. And I'm going to tell you, listen, you know what? The worst one that will, out of all of those, I'm going to tell you, is that devil, because he is one of those. Take your Bibles, if you have your Bible handy, take Ephesians and go over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. And I want to share with you this morning, as we get into the message, amen, this is some of that trilogy, that's trouble, that Paul says that the devil's good at. And I thank God, as you look at this, in Ephesians chapter 2, this is what he said. He says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." Right there, that's the world. That's one enemy right there. "The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." There's the devil right there. "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past," listen, "in the lust of the flesh," there's the flesh, "fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." And so you've got the three enemies that Paul mentioned right there, that every one of them, the trilogy of trouble that comes against every one of us each and every day: the devil, the world, and this old fleshly nature. He goes on a little bit further, where we at back in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. And I thank God he begins to tell us, he says in verse 11, here he says, let me go to verse 10. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." But here it is. He says, put on the whole armor of God. He's going to say it again in a minute. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities." Here it is. Here Paul is saying right here again in verses 11 and 12 that you're dealing face-to-face combat, hand-to-hand, feet-to-feet combat right here that you're dealing with. He says, listen, he says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places." Amen. But here he tells us again, verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God," in verse 13. Well, I thank God, as we look at this morning, you think your enemy is man, but I'm going to tell you, he's not. Man, sinners are not your enemy. In fact, you ought to have pity upon some of these sinners out there, because they ain't even got what we got this morning. They don't have victory in Jesus. And I do. I feel sorry for them. You say, there's some I don't. Well, yeah, they probably are. But truly, I feel sorry, because they're on their way to the depths of hell unless they get salvation. Now, think about that for a minute. Boy, that scares the living daylights out of me, that knowing that I've got somebody in my family that's going to the depths of hell. And so I tell you, there's various levels among the demons, because we read it in verse 12 a while ago. And look again, listen, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood," but here's the levels of the demons. He says, "but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places." There's your levels of the demons that he's talking about right there, amen. The devil's hierarchy that he has, that is a copycat of what the Lord has today, amen. And so I thank God, every one of us, you can go to the moon, but you won't get away from that old devil, amen. You know, every one of us, you're still going to battle them wherever. They'll destroy your home, and they'll destroy your lives, and they'll divide brother against brother, amen. But I thank God, the Christian has a piece of equipment. Normally would say all of those, but I'm going to add that in your application. Look on the back of this and you'll notice. Right down at the bottom it says the Christian's whole armor, the holy armor. And what are those spiritual weapons? Well, I've got it on the back. The reason is because I'm focusing on prayer today. And that's why I'm starting out that way. But when we end up, that is the focus of every one of us, because that's our equipment as a soldier every day, amen, that we put on, amen. And so I thank God when it says be strong in the Lord in verse 10, it's in the passive voice. I thank God that he's literally saying clothe yourself with power. Clothe yourself with power, because that passive voice is saying every time, you see, God needs to, he's given us the power for these battles, amen. But he's telling us in that passive voice that something God does for us, amen. He does it for us when we put on the whole armor of God. It's that passive voice. And so I thank God, every one of us, as we look, he says, put on the whole armor of God. Verse 13, put on the whole armor of God that he tells us. And so every one of us, as we look here this morning, prayer is the means by which we are clothed with the armor of God. It's almost like a definition. I thank God. I wish I could put that in there. Prayer is the means by which we are clothed with the armor of God. And I'm going to tell you, boy, if you ain't never been out and trying to have some protection on, every one of us, we ought to be praying about the armor of God, clothing ourselves in God's protection, being ready for the enemy's attacks. Amen. Well, I thank God, what was it? Matthew 26:36. The Bible says, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to the disciples, he says, sit here while I go and pray over there. Well, listen to what Matthew's telling us. Listen, in verse 37, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And then he came to the disciples, and he found them asleep. And he said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so I thank God, many Christians, they find it hard to pray for an extended period of time. Well, I tell you, we go and we work a hard day. We come home, we're about ready for bed. You know, we're ready to eat our meal. And, you know, our prayer time, when we get down, you know, it's easy to go to sleep. It's easy to get tired, amen. And I thank God, prayer is one of those most important times. Boy, I tell you, Kenny Jacobs, boy, he gave us a great message out there Saturday, amen, as it's been said this morning. Boy, I tell you, it was a great message that he was talking about, how that we've got to get rid of that weight, amen. He did one of them John Hagee things where John Hagee one time preached a message and he walked around the pulpit, walking. He got up there, and I think John was the fastest one to catch on to, John Underwood, amen. He said, I believe he wants us to get up, walk with him, amen. Well, he did, amen. But John was more alert than I guess the rest of them. He got on up there and got on and got to walk with him. We walked around the whole thing, amen. And again, he said, because he said, every one of us, no matter what is happening in your Christian life, you're to continue to move forward, amen. You're to continue to move forward, amen. Boy, it may be hard. You can't run. Maybe you're just moving some small steps, but keep trying to move forward in your Christian walk and in your life, amen. And he set an example by walking around the whole room of the fellowship hall, amen. And finally, he had his pastor with him, amen. Pastor Scott, he got on. Boy, we was like the, what was it, when they grabbed the hold of the golden goose and we was all going around, amen. But praise God, I'm telling you, it was effective. It was effective. And so I thank God as we look this morning, begin to realize that all the things that we need to do, prayer is one of the most important things. And so one of the first things in your outline that I have there is a definition of this secret weapon. Prayer. Prayer can be defined as that spiritual activity in which the child of God engages the Heavenly Father in two-way dialogue. Two-way dialogue, amen. And I thank God, A is B and C is all prayer. It's prayer. Because I thank God, it's all about prayer. Prayer is undertaking that can be practiced anytime, amen, in any place for any valid purpose, amen. And I thank God, just a few thoughts on prayer, amen. And I thank God, prayer is the process by which we dress up in God's armor. I thank God. Prayer is the power by which we go further to do the battle in God's army, amen. And prayer is the practice by which we appropriate and we aim God's artillery when we're trying to fire back. You know, Lee and I took a little time out to watch the Great War. You know, as Bob said one time, the Great War is the First World War. If you don't know what I'm talking about. And I tell you, out of all the campaigns, you know, we watched live footage of the British. Everything that was about it was horrible. Something like they showed real things that were happening. And you know what? I really got out of all that when them men got back from fighting. Some of them, 4 years or 3 years that they were in all that, those trenches. This is the thing that stood out to me after I listened to about an hour and a half of that, of real documentation. They said when they got back home And they told everybody how harsh it was. He said, they said the civilians, they just didn't understand. They had no idea what those soldiers had been through. You know, not saying that about civilians or anybody, but I don't know about you, but when I got back out of boot camp, I felt like that too. I said, man, these civilians get to sleep all day. Man, why are we up early in the morning? But I'll tell you, hey, I'm going to tell you, that was what really stuck with me, because they had no idea. But I'm going to tell you, every one of us, when you're fighting the battle against the enemy, there's some of these folks out here has no idea how to use it correctly, amen. And so prayer is that single greatest force that's ever been on earth. And you know what? Brother Bob said this, and if you don't mind, as I quote him, he says, you know, you look around, and we had our county prayer wide meeting. And you know what? Not saying nothing about our church, but every church in this county, they ought to have been so packed in there that every church that was coming for that countywide prayer, that they had to stand up around the walls, but there were plenty of room left. It's sad, because that was the most powerful opportunity that we had. You know, a lot of folks look down on the pastors calling off the Sunday night service to go over there and have prayer with another church, with all them other churches. Yes, because that's the most powerful time in this entire county that every church can come together and be powerful, amen. And I tell you, that was a powerful experience. I tell you, I really look forward to that, and it was, because every church, every sister church, every army of soldier was there praying in unison. And I thank God in corporate prayer at the same time. And prayer is that powerful. And that's why this last of these seven things that's on the end, we don't take it so seriously a lot of times. I wonder how many times we get up in the morning, and you know, and we maybe we got on the armor of God, but we don't have the prayer that goes with it. And so that is it. Prayer can be defined as that spiritual activity in which every one of us as a child of God engages the Heavenly Father in a two-way dialogue. I wonder on a daily basis how we have that relationship. You know, Lord, I forgot to talk with you yesterday. Oh, Lord, I forgot to talk with you all week long. But Lord, hear me this morning. Hey, you come right back, yes. But how many does that fit this morning? All week, maybe it's been 2 weeks. How long has it been? That's only you and the Lord knows. But I'm going to tell you, prayer brings the praying saint into the presence of an almighty God. And so it's the power of God to bear the life of each and every one of us. Amen. Jesus set that example is why I read that. And so there's the definition. Amen. But the second thing is the description of this secret weapon, which is prayer, amen, that we have. And I thank God, it ought to be constant, which means always, amen. It ought to be something that is a clarification that means all prayers and supplication that we're told in the Word of God, to be able to do that. Prayers and supplication and intercession, I thank God, confession, adoration, every one of us with thanksgiving that we give each and every day, amen. Our companion ought to be prayer each and every day, is what I'm saying about that description. But also that determination that we have is the third thing. Not only that, look here, I'm saying, and I ain't even hitting the button on it because I'm trying to get through. But I thank God as I put it up, that definition, that description, but also lastly, because we're out of time, determination. And that's exactly a quick message that is so powerful, amen, that every one of us, that determination, we've got to be alert, which is watchful, amen. Watchful for the opportunities to pray. You know what the Bible does tell us? Pray for your enemy. Who wants to do that? That's what the Bible teaches us. Pray for your enemy. That's hard to do. But that's exactly what we've been called to do. We must be alert, which is watchful, for the opportunity. We must be active as well. That's perseverance. That we, each one of us, it simply means that we'll keep on praying until, listen, the answer comes from God. Amen. I thank God. Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. Read that later on. I thank God. Jacob gave a good example on that. Genesis chapter 32 in the Old Testament. Amen. Verses 24 down to verse 30. Those are examples. Amen. We ought to continue in prayer until God says stop, or He gives us what we have a desire for. Amen. And so the early church practiced that persevering in praying. And lastly of all, not only be alert, which is watchful, not only be active in perseverance, but lastly, we ought to ask, must be asking, amen, with the supplication for every child of God that's out there today. Every one of us, we ought to be asking for one another. And I thank God, you know what? I take that serious when somebody wants me to pray for them. That we put that down, amen, and pray for them when we can. John 13, 35. By this shall all men know that we are, that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one to another. And I thank God we're to pray for one another as well. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of God. I tell you, the greatest burden is I pray for my co-worker, because she's uneducated and she tries to do so much for so many. Why? Well, her husband is currently, was told 5 years ago to quit drinking or go have cirrhosis of the liver. His brother has cirrhosis of the liver, and now she does everything she can to try to fill out all of these things with no education, to get food stamps, to get all of this help for her, her brother's brother. How many people would be that compassionate? Don't even have an education, but she does it out of love for those. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed this morning. This tear comes to the end. I thank God, as you see all of these, every one of us, these spiritual weapons, the girdle of truth, that's your integrity. Stand therefore, having your Lord's girdle back with the truth. Every one of us need that integrity of truth, amen, that belt of truth. The breastplate of righteousness, which is the purity, have it on as well. Now thank God, as we look and realize that the gospel, the shoes of the gospel, are a tranquility that we have as well. That we have our feet dug into the turf, that we can stand firmly. Now, Sister Sheehan starts playing this morning. Of all these seven things that we have on, I thank God not only the shoes of the gospel, the shield of faith, which is our certainty. I thank God that in the battle, you've got to be looked on to the fact that the Bible, the Word of God, is our greatest strength, amen. We take that Word of God and we use it in the time of prayer, amen. All of these things, the helmet of salvation, our sanity that keeps us right. I thank God, keeping our mind protected each and every day from the things of this world. All of these seven things, but the most and powerful thing that we can have, the secret weapon for every one of us that have been brought into the army of God, is prayer, that we put on every bit of it each and every day. Father, this morning, we thank you for the message. This secret weapon, Lord, it shouldn't be a secret. But Lord, sometimes we may put on the armor of God, but we forget to pray. Before we even leave the house, we remember the cup of coffee. We remember all the other things that we got going on that day, but we don't start out and put it all on the prayer. But Lord, I pray, help us to remember. And Lord, especially this morning, I want to thank you for this body of Christ and for the love that they have for you and for those that are lost in our community, that we will continue to pray for them because they need prayer. They need the prayers of those that love the Lord and that are in a relationship on a daily basis. Father, I ask this morning that you'll touch every heart. And Lord, if there's someone here today that don't know Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that that convicting power will touch them this morning and bring them to the knees, that they'll kneel and give everything over into your care. Their life that will be given a promise to be safely kept in the hands of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That precious soul, Lord, will be kept, that name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Father, this morning, I pray your blessings upon the many that are struggling in areas, Lord, where the death angel has come. For they're struggling with medical problems, Father. They're struggling with finances. They're struggling with their marriage. And they're struggling with many things on their job. Help them this morning to be strong, because, Lord, they cannot be defeated with the armor of God when it's put on and when it's prayed in the power and the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. As we stand at our feet this morning, look at the page number. 294 this morning. I want to open the doors of People's Valley Baptist Church by letter, by baptism, or by statement of faith this morning. You can come and join this morning. Each and every one of us, if we look and realize the greatest blessing that we have is knowing that the Lord loves us more than anyone else possibly can ever love us this morning. That's the kind of Savior that we got. He knows what you're going through this morning. He knows exactly what you feel this morning. And he feels the compassion for you. If you'll just give it to him, as Kenny Jacobs says, don't hold on to it. Bring it, lay it down at the foot of the cross and leave it there. Leave that heavy weight, that burden, and leave it with him. As we sing this morning, you can come and pray if there's something that you need to come and pray about.